Governor Tony Evers is promising to veto new legislative voting maps that were sent to him by Republican lawmakers. It's Thursday, January 25th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the state's fish and wildlife account is approaching a multi-million dollar deficit. And hundreds of new migrants and asylum seekers have settled in Whitewater in the last 2 years. This month, in fact, officials there sent a letter to President Biden asking for help dealing with the changes that's causing. Evan Casey will have more on how the new residents in the city are managing. Stay with us.
You tune in every weekday for your dose of local news on Wisconsin Today. You enjoy headlines with context as well as a longer story. This news is community supported. Join in with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Governor Tony Evers says he'll veto legislative voting maps that Republican lawmakers sent to his desk yesterday. Rich Kramer reports that means the state Supreme Court will likely pick new maps instead.
Republicans in the state Senate and Assembly introduced and passed their maps in just over a day's time. GOP leaders said they based their plan off of maps Evers submitted to the court, with a handful of changes to reduce the number of Republican lawmakers pitted against one another. Soon after the Assembly passed the maps yesterday, Evers said the GOP plan was a non-starter.
No, I won't sign it. The only one that I'll sign is my maps, and those are not my maps.
In its December ruling declaring current GOP voting districts unconstitutional, the Wisconsin Supreme Court called on Evers and lawmakers to pass new maps, but the court said if that doesn't happen, justices would proceed with redistricting. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A pair of Wisconsin Republicans want to give the Universities of Wisconsin $500,000 per year to ensure that conservative voices on public campuses are heard. A proposed bill that would have used state money to fund the Wisconsin Institute of Citizenship and Civil Dialogue was created in 2022. The survey conducted that year found about 64% of conservative students reported feeling pressured to agree with a specific political or ideological viewpoint in class. Only 15% of liberal students reported feeling the same way. During a public event this week, System President Jay Rothman said universities challenge students regardless of political affiliation.
We're there to share information with them. We're there to help their critical thought process. We're there to help them write and speak in a more articulate fashion. We're there to help them problem solve and analyze.
Republicans say the Free Speech Office is not adequately funded. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the state's fish and wildlife account is approaching a $16 million deficit by 2026. Hunting, fishing, trapping, and other license fees make up the most significant source of revenue. Prior to last summer, the agency says the budget had not significantly increased fees since 2005. Jason Schlender with Great Lakes Fish and Wildlife Commission says he's worried about the deficit's effect on the state's ability to manage walleye.
Walleye populations are declining regionally, necessitating increased, not decreased, population and harvesting monitoring in the coming decades.
Under the current budget, lawmakers came up with a temporary fix by transferring $25 million into the account and raising non-resident license fees. Some board members, however, say the legislature should consider raising them for state residents as well. 9 Wisconsin chefs or restaurants were named as semifinalists for the 2024 James Beard Awards. Robert DeAndrea has more.
The awards recognize exceptional talent in the food industry, as well as a demonstrated commitment to racial and gender equity and sustainability. Christy McKenzie is the owner of Pasture and Plenty in Madison. She has a meal kit business and a farm-to-table deli and catering company. She also hosts educational programming for the community. Her restaurant is a semi-finalist for the Outstanding Hospitality Award.
We look forward to more conversations in community about what it means to share a radical welcome, to create space for food and culture and economy around local food systems.
3 of the semifinalists are in Madison, 4 in Milwaukee, and 1 each in Bay City and LaPointe. Finalists will be announced in April, and the winners will be awarded at a ceremony in Chicago in June. Robert DeAndrea, Wisconsin Public Radio.
In sports news, before the start of the season, the Milwaukee Bucks had high hopes for first-time head coach Adrian Griffin, and team leadership now offering few details on why those hopes soured, leading to Griffin's firing this past week. During a press conference yesterday, Bucks general manager John Horst said there wasn't just one reason why they made the move.
For us, we felt like this was the right time, the right decision to make, and that we had an opportunity to improve the group. And you know, there isn't a specific instance, there isn't a specific timing to it.
Griffin had led the team to a record of 30 wins and 13 losses so far this year. That was second best in the NBA. But reports have been swirling for weeks about a rift between Griffin and some players on the team. And the team's also struggled on defense all year long. Interim coach Joe Prunty will be taking over for now. ESPN and other media outlets have reported that the club is close to hiring veteran coach Doc Rivers. Horst declined to comment on Rivers' possible future with the team. Coming up, officials in Whitewater sent a letter to President Joe Biden this month asking for help in managing the needs of hundreds of new immigrants and asylum seekers who've settled in the area. WPR's Evan Casey took a trip to southeastern Wisconsin to chat with the newest residents of the city. Stay with us.
Gardening in Wisconsin is a year-round job, and Garden Talk is here for you throughout every season. We help you battle relentless pests and pick your favorite mulch. We also cover how to care for houseplants and successful methods for starting seeds inside. We want to know what keeps your garden growing. Join me, Larry Mueller, for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network, Fridays at 11 and Saturday mornings at 6, or online anytime.
And finally, in the last 2 years, hundreds of new immigrants and asylum seekers have settled in Whitewater. This month, officials there sent a letter to President Joe Biden asking for help dealing with the changes that's causing. Evan Casey reports on how the newcomers are affecting the city and its residents.
Byron spent 17 days traveling from Nicaragua through Central America to get to the United States. He left his past life behind in search of a better one in America.
I might have better opportunities here, because that's what I aim here. Try to find a better place to live, try to feel safe, try to work hard.
Nicaragua is an authoritarian regime, and Byron is now seeking asylum here in America. He didn't want his last name used in this story out of concerns for his safety. When he reached the U.S.-Mexico border, he was allowed to be received by friends where they live, in Whitewater, Wisconsin. At the home's kitchen table, Byron wears a black AC/DC shirt and a crucifix around his neck. He's growing his hair out. The cold is still something he's getting used to, and he thinks it'll help him stay warmer in the winter. But the 27-year-old also says he feels happy and grateful to be here.
I really like it. I mean, I love, that's why I never moved from Whitewater. I'm not planning to move, actually.
Byron is just one of the recent immigrants who have settled in the small college town in the past few years. Many of them are refugees from Nicaragua or Venezuela. The city estimates there could be anywhere from 800 to 1,000 of them now living in the city of 15,000. Juana Barajas owns a Mexican grocery store with her family on Main Street. She's now offering items with the Nicaraguan and Venezuelan flags on them and is even making different types of food for the newcomers.
Now, of course, I'm making food, Mexican food, but I'm making a lot of tamales, a lot of, you know, caldos. Well, they don't call them caldos, they call them sopa.
Marjorie Stoneman, who leads the community group Whitewater Unites Lives, also says it's important to welcome the newcomers.
We really want to make sure that people recognize that newcomers to our town are welcome, and that we respect everybody, where they're from, no matter where they're from or what their religion or what their beliefs are.
But the arrivals haven't come without new challenges for the city, as the newcomers have strained public services. Whitewater Police Chief Dan Meyer says in 1 week in January 2022, the city experienced a few major incidents that spurred a citywide discussion about how to deal with the influx. He says police found a family with a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old living inside a 10-by-10 shed in below zero temperatures. They also found two young children living in an empty building building where a fire started.
In a very short span of time, it couldn't be more clear that we had an issue that needed to be addressed immediately.
Meyer wants to see new funding for an immigrant liaison position and more officers. Ultimately, he says his goal is to better serve the new population.
Whether or not the numbers, you know, say it's 200 or it's 2,000, what matters is our statistics point to a huge need for resources.
Some law enforcement and politicians have claimed that some of the immigrants are connected to the illegal drug trade. Meyer says it's too soon to know if that's actually occurring or not. Southeastern Wisconsin may seem like an unlikely place for such immigration, but many migrants make decisions the same way Byron did. They go where they know someone. When one family or group settles in a spot, they tell others it's safe to come. Immigration attorney Mark Christopher says he believes similar stories are occurring across Wisconsin and other smaller Midwestern cities. He says it could be years until asylum cases for many of the new immigrants are completed. In the meantime, he says they're hard workers and do their best to fit in.
They acclimate themselves into our schools and our community, and in my experience, they bring an extra positive element to any community.
That's been the case for Byron. He's now volunteering at a food pantry to help others like him. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Hit that subscribe button, you know the drill, then we'll show up automatically in your podcast feed every single weekday morning. So until tomorrow, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.